Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that encouragement to make the Word of God the foundation of our lives. And it truly is the promises of God that we find in the Word that gives us encouragement and shows us how to live. And there's an aspect as we come. We're coming down to the very end of our series on money. There's maybe two different, one more topic and one more passage that we probably need to deal with in terms of that. And we pretty much have come to the conclusion of, and we've, as far as I'm aware of, there may be a few verses in the Minor Prophets or something like that, but we have pretty much covered certainly every New Testament verse on money. And there's an aspect of, so it's interesting how the Lord's bringing this to the end. And it's kind of making me step back and reflect over what we have seen and what we've learned. And honestly, when we started off with this, I have no real understanding of where I was going to go. But we talk about God's Word being sufficient for us, that it is the standard for our faith and practice, that we look to the Word to direct us in our lives. And there's something very immensely practical about this aspect of money in our lives. And yet we find that if you're going to look for the Bible in terms of to tell you how to manage your money and give you a lot of great tips and advice, and it's not a Ramsey's book, all right? You know, it's not a Larry Burkett, and he's kind of gunning for that. And I'm not saying those things are not appropriate and good to get instruction and get help and answer questions in a complex financial world and those type of things. But it's interesting to me that as we go through this, that the Bible doesn't tell us so many of those things, but it does communicate to us how to keep money in the right order, the right priority before the Lord. And it's interesting that, and I remember starting off this entire series with the example of George Mueller. He had made it his goal and his desire to give to the poor and to not prepare for the future. And he said, well, the Lord says you have pity upon the poor, and you lend to the Lord, and that which he giveth, he will pay him again. And he made this statement. He said, let no one profess to trust God and yet lay up for future wants. Otherwise, the Lord will send him to the hoard he has amassed before he can answer the prayer for more. And there's an aspect to which he makes, and there is a sense in which I'm not here to stand up and box with George Mueller. He is a man of immense faith. The Lord honored his faith, and God provided for him in amazing and wonderful ways. But then there's an aspect also on that side of things, though, that with any man, no one's experience or no one's testimony is our standard of practice. It is the Word of God. And so we have to come to this aspect and say, is saving for the future inherently wrong? Is it inherently a lack of faith? That's a good question. And in that question, we can learn a lot about what we understand about faith. And I believe that the conclusion that we should come to is no. That someone can and should save for the future based on the Bible, the text, and the passages that we're going to look toward to this evening. Now, there's not a ton that's an emphasis upon those things. But I think that itself can be done in the spirit of faith, trusting the Lord. And I think that's a very that helps us to take in terms of the whole issue of my actions and God's sovereign plan. And we can kind of get to this place where we can easily, and maybe on one issue we're balanced, and another issue we get unbalanced. And I think that can happen in our lives. I see this in regards to, you know, evangelism. Is there a God's part in evangelism and the salvation of souls? Absolutely. They're not coming to him unless he draws them. It takes the Spirit of God to work and convict. He is doing that work. Absolutely. But is there a part that God has given to us? Will anyone believe if they have not heard? He says no. He's going to send a preacher. And so we can see sometimes and say, wait a second now, in evangelism, you better not use God's part as an excuse not to do your part, right? And there's actually many things that are like this. And there is an aspect that we can kind of come to this part of saving, and we can fall into that trap as well. So we're going to turn, if you want to turn your Bibles, we're going to get to there, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. And we'll look around in several verses in Proverbs. I'm going to give a short couple of examples here of saving. The first example that we have in the Bible of saving for the future is maybe an obvious one, but it's Joseph. He receives a dream. There's going to be 7 years of plenty and bounty. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine that come through and eat up all of the bounty that's there. And it's interesting, that's where the revelation of God stops. I don't know if we've thought about this very much, but God did not give him in the dream, per se, that we're aware of, the answer and the solution to the problem. But God blessed him. Just like God blessed him when he worked in Potiphar's house. There's probably an aspect to which he had some common sense. He had some wisdom, and he went to put this over, and God would just said, hey, I'm going to make that, I'm going to work, and that's going to multiply. And Potiphar said, whoa, man, this man, and he could tell this man, Joseph, whatever he puts his hand to, God's blessing is upon him. He says, I want to put him in charge of more things. It's Joseph himself that tells Pharaoh and says in chapter 41, verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come. And lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. This was God's plan through his servant Joseph. And so if you're looking for a word, and oftentimes when I study the Bible and I take a theme, sometimes, you could, like we did a couple weeks ago, we did inheritance. Well, you can study that word inheritance and you can trace it out. But can you trace out the word save? Well, if you're going to do savings and save monetarily, most of your occurrences of save are going to be about salvation. So it's not going to find that word. But the word that you can come up to is this word store. Storing up or laying up is also another word. And so this is what he does. And so it makes really good sense. And it works. And they had enough food for the provision of the lean years. And through the bountiful aspect of it, so that they're able not only to feed all of Egypt, but to feed the rest of the world that came to them that was impacted. We find that godly kings, a reoccurring pattern, is that they set up what's called store cities. Solomon began this in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 6. Of course, David stored up things for Solomon to build the house of the Lord. But I didn't include that because that's a little bit different emphasis. Rehoboam, Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah all are mentioned that they would store up for corn and for wine and for oil, that they prepared for, and oftentimes for sieges in that aspect. They understood that they would not always be so prosperous, and so they laid up for the difficult times. And we see that as an example, but also we have here in Proverbs, Solomon himself tells us that this is something that we ought to glean from common sense. We have an exhortation, and it's found in verse 6. A lesson from nature. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. There's an aspect here that you think about the little ants, and the Bible calls them a weak people, weak creatures. You know, they're frustrating creatures. They will pop up in your house, and man, there's always an aspect I always think, I'm gonna seal up every single crack, and they're never going to get in my house. And other people said, well, that's just not going to work. Oh, yeah. It didn't work. They find a way. A little people. And yet, God has put into their very nature to survive. They are constantly out there gathering food. And I wish they weren't gathering food in my house. Of course, we got some nice little traps and things like that. There are some ways to fix them up pretty good. And to get them to keep at bay. But they are constantly searching for food during the summer months. Here we come. Spring is on us. The ants are going to be on the march. They're going to be looking for that food. And God says we can go to them and learn an example from them. Several passages in the Old Testament that talk about, ye shall eat the old store and bring forth the old because of the new. So this is a promise of the blessing of God in Leviticus 26. It's also mentioned in Deuteronomy 28:5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. What you have stored up. You're basically the aspect of your daily provision, your refrigerator, and your pantry. Okay? That's kind of the aspect of what he's talking about. What you have to eat today and what you stored up for the future. And as we look towards those things, there to live in an agricultural community, there was an understanding of this from the very beginning. There's a summer, there's a harvest time, but there's also a winter time. There's a time to plant, there's a time to get a garden, and there's a time when things won't grow. He says, you better work hard while you have the opportunity and prepare for the future winter. And this was happening on a weekly cycle. But that type of wisdom and that type of understanding is also something for us in terms of our lives. There is a summer portion of our lives, and a spring, and a fall, and a winter. There is a time that it's not so easy to work. And it's not so, it doesn't necessarily mean that, as a personal word, I don't know. there is an aspect of, sometimes we think we have an early winter when God gives us strength and ability. And I think there's an aspect God wants us to work. God's made us to work. Doesn't mean we have to work at the same capacity and the same strength, but studies have been done and found that those who continue to work, even into their older age, live longer than those who kind of shut it down and that aspect. And so there's something about that, that God has made us to work. There really is a time we have to recognize that we ought to prepare for the future. God wants us, like the ant, to anticipate and think of the future and act on that today. That is God's wisdom. And there's so much about that's biblical Christianity in so many ways. When we talked about the inheritance principle, it was about working today and building an inheritance so that I can pass that on to someone else, a future generation. There is something about the forward thinking that is completely godly, whereas the culture of this world is thinking about today. The flesh is about pleasing myself now. And it doesn't want to prepare and think for the future. As we look at this aspect, he tells us in Proverbs 10:5, he says, he that gathereth, and that is the idea of storing up, taking what you have, not just eating what you have every day and consuming what you have, but storing it up in the summer, he is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. There is a certain level of shame that says, if I'm not preparing and saving for the future, this is requires some sacrifice on our parts. Sometimes when we feel like we can't save, we've got to find a way to not consume everything that we take in. We've got to say, part of my responsibility is to prepare for the future that God has given me in terms of a common sense wisdom found in nature to be like the ant and to prepare, because it's hard work and it's not easy to save. The Bible tells us this is prudence. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You say, well, I know that the evil days are coming, and when my faculties are going to shut down, but if we don't prepare for that, there's an aspect of it's not the government's job to prepare for an aspect. And so it's not other people's job. It's ours to prepare for the future. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. That word thought is used in a more, not just, oh, I had this idea and whatnot, but it's the idea of planning and structure. And so we're talking about in terms of saving. This is financial planning for the future. And someone who's diligent and someone works hard and they put their thought into and say, what can I do to prepare for the winter of my life? And he says, but everyone that is hasty only to want. If you're all about trying to, there's an aspect of the same process comes back into the next verse I'm going to share. I'll talk about that and save that. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. There is this aspect that we say, well, man, I just want to get that nest egg, you know, that savings, and try to find some secret way to get rich. And so that I've got that great savings plan. The Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. There's an aspect that God wants us to save little by little by little, being faithful, 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 and to grow that. That takes discipline, that takes hard work, and it takes diligence in putting it into practice. But that's what God blesses. When we come to this, just some practical part, I believe that we should make plans, but make plans trusting in the Lord. That you are depending upon Him, that your plans are submitted to Him, and you pray over those plans, and you say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I prepare? And this may not be sufficient. It's hard to save more than inflation in these days, and there's all kinds of things that money will fly away and make itself wings. Don't put your heart and your trust, no matter what we have in our accounts. But there is also another aspect that says it's not right for me to sit back and say, I don't need to do anything. And so there is a part where I trust God in faith, but also I say, God wants me to plan. He wants me to be prepared. There's an interesting balance between this in terms of the Lord brought to mind the pots for the widow who came, and she says, my husband has died. And the man of God told her, gather as many pots as you can find. And she takes that little flask of oil and she begins to pour it out. And every time she pours it, God continues to stretch it and to grow. And He meets that need. And it's interesting, He tells her, and she says, she comes back to the man of God. And He says, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. God didn't just provide for her in that one day. He provided enough for her to live on in terms of that. There's God's provision in that aspect. And so I think there's an aspect of what the Bible tells us, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Don't be like, there is an ungodly saving. There is a rich man who stores his treasures into barns. And he says, oh, take thy ease, with no thought for eternity. That's not saving up for the future in terms of a wise sense. That is completely foolish, because you're not looking to the ultimate future when you're going to stand before God. And ultimately, that's where all of this ought to be, the future aspect of our lives should be oriented. Those that give expert opinions and things, they say, try to, if you can, save 5% of your income if possible. It's an interesting aspect to set aside something. And you have to, if you want to do that, you have to set that aside at the very beginning. You can't, it's just too easy, and I've tried this myself. Oh, I'll just save whatever I don't spend. Oh, man, that's so hard. Because you spend what you have. And you got to be careful about that. It's just too easy to do that. But if you can set aside that money, just like you set aside tithe for the Lord and set aside taxes, and you say, how much do you pay in taxes? Is it more than 5%? Yep, probably is. But you manage, because what happens is it's taken out first at the beginning, and then you see what you have left over. And if you do that in terms of saving, say, I'm going to set aside this money. Sometimes you can have it set aside through your paycheck and those type of things, or you can do it manually yourself and just set aside money. And you say, not that I look at this as being savings that I can say, oh, I want to go buy this now. But aspect, it says this is future savings that I'm constantly trying to prepare. Of course, you have an emergency, but I mean a true emergency. You dip into those things, but you look at it in terms of you're saving for the future. And yet you're trusting God through it. I think there is also another aspect. George Mueller is not all wrong in what he's saying. Give unto others, and God will repay you. But there's an aspect of, I'm sure you're familiar, all of us are familiar with, It's a Wonderful Life. And a man who lives sacrificially for other people in a time of need, people come around and help them and meet their needs. That's something that's true of people in human nature, but certainly is true of God's people. When we know of somebody who's sacrificial, and there's an aspect of one of the passages we haven't dealt with is God's instructions to the church about taking and supporting widows. That actually encourages the church, and there's an aspect that we can incorporate that. That's going to be a good topic to deal with. But part of that, there's qualifications for the church's financial support. And that there is this aspect that the ladies that have been a part of that have are known for good works. Yeah. And so there's an aspect of God's, when you live for God, God will take care of you. And there may be someone here that says, well, it's too late now. Saving is, it's kind of, you know, I might save 5% now, but it's not going to matter for whole much. Don't be despaired. God's going to take care of you. And there's an aspect of, you know, there may be sacrifices that you have to make at certain points, but God is good. And he looks after his children and he feeds those. And he said, the psalmist says, I've never seen the righteous begging bread. That God is going to meet the needs of his own people. There's an aspect too, but I shouldn't come back around and say, well, you know what? I'm counting on others to help me make. They'll save for me. They'll be my rescue net. That really is the spirit of not the ant, but the grasshopper. This is the spirit of the sluggard. In reading in Proverbs 6 again, it says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So the opposite of the ant that's preparing in the time that it's the appropriate time to prepare for the future is called the sluggard. And the sluggard is going to be met with poverty, and he says you're going to be like one who travels. And the idea here is someone who's, I think probably the best that we can, in that context, especially in the land aspect of that society, is someone who's homeless. Go to San Francisco and find a tent and find out how much that person has. They've got nothing. They're not working the job. They're not saving. They're not preparing for the future. They're just living day by day by day. And most of them are trying to find some way that they can steal and get some, make some money so they can buy some drugs. And it really is one of the saddest things that it's an epidemic that's taking place in many different cities in our country now. That's the idea here of a vagabond, someone who's wandering about, has no home, and just leeching off of one person and the next person, the next person. He says, thy want or thy need shall come to you as an armed man. It's like someone comes to you and meets you with a gun and says, give me all you've got. And poverty begins to say, oh, I like that watch. Oh, I like that clothes. I like that wallet, and it just robs you of everything until you have nothing. That's what being a sluggard is going to produce. It's going to be painful. So what is this aspect of sleep? Well, that's doing the easy thing. That's doing what feels good in the moment. That's doing nothing. So the ant is busy preparing for the future, and for us as believers, we ought to prepare and we ought to do our best, trusting the Lord to bless our efforts. And if he wants to be like Job and take all of our flocks and herds away and brings us down, we can still praise be the Lord. I know he's going to take care of me, but I've done what God's given me to do. I haven't been a sluggard. I prepared for the future. I think there's an aspect to which everyone in this room can have one inclination or the other. One inclination is that you are filled, you are a go-getter person. That's my wife. She gets to doing something and she's like, an idea occurs to her and she says, I'm going to call him right now. I'm like, what? Right now? I mean, nothing stays on her to-do list very long at all. And I'm like, oh, everything that I need to do needs to percolate for a day. Mañana. There's time. You know, so we're balancing each other out. And that's a really good thing. So we're on the opposite end of the spectrum. So on one side, you can be full of activity. Oh, I got to do a lot of things. And yet, what's the danger over here? Come on, somebody's full of activity. Yep, not okay. Wow, we get the... Listen, any more? This is going to be good application time. I'm thinking about internally, your emotions. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good. So that's the way we should be doing, leaving with lots of activity, but trusting the Lord. But if we don't have that trust, we can be filled with nervousness and this aspect of, oh, we feel like it's all up to me and it's all my responsibility and I better get everything together. Oh man, do I have enough? And oh, it's probably not. And we begin to stir and where's our faith? Oh, we're doing a lot of stuff, but we've lost faith. Other inclination. God's got this. I don't have to do anything. He's in control. I'm trusting him. Just trust the Lord, babe. I'm not bringing it down too close to the application, but that's where we can come. And it's neither one. That's not really faith, right? Is it? Faith is doing what I'm supposed to do, trusting God to use that however he sees fit. Isn't that what it sounds like in evangelism? Doing my part, allowing God to use it whichever way that he sees fit. And you can go through every area of your life and say, oh, we can just trust God on that. Isn't there a responsibility for me to do? But should I do that responsibility without dependence and say, without him, I can do nothing? And so this is incredibly practical. This is how we live our faith. We can make excuses one way or the other. Oh, I've got my responsibility. And ignore my own lack of faith that I can be over here and put a on my inactivity. And just say, and I think there's an aspect of that we can fall into that trap. And I want to just conclude this message with an aspect of thinking of a future savings that God wants us to have. We talk about, and God gives us an inclination that we ought to prepare for the winter times of our lives. But the Bible tells us if we have money, that we ought to lay up in store. There's our key word. And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So if you want to, I've got one verse on there, but there's actually a couple verses in the context. We've looked at this passage, but our forgetters are strong, so we'll turn back. 1 Timothy. Six. And the verse right before that lets us know that he's basically saying those who have money, God encouraged to know that God gives us richly all things to enjoy, but let's use those things for good. Do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, ready to give to others, And in that act of giving, you are laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. Not that you earn salvation, but that you're prepared, preparing and saving up. As the Bible says in Jesus' own words, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You want to save? There's a plan of saving that you can't beat. The interest rate of God, the banks can't touch it. There's an aspect that we ought to have a future impact, not only on the positive side, but also on the negative side. There is a future that's coming. And God says that the people whose focus is only upon gold and silver, he says, that rust is eating their flesh as it were a fire. They are being consumed by their greed. And he says, ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. The picture in my mind of this verse is the idea that all of a sudden they've amassed like Scrooge all this gold in their storehouse. And God says that gold is turned to fire. And now you have heaped to yourselves what you thought was going to be beneficial in this life is actually detrimental to you in the next life. Romans 2:5, also along these lines, he says, after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so there is an aspect we are laying up. Those who are unsaved are laying up and saving up wrath and indignation. And those that are believers in the Lord, as we live for Him and use the finances that God has given us for His glory with a focus on what He wants from our lives, He says, you are storing up for the life to come. And there's going to be a reward. There's going to be a reckoning. And there's an aspect that says, this is why it's so Christian for us to live not for today and today alone, but to live for the future. Go to the end, Pastor, and be wise. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the practicality of your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord, we want our minds to think after your thoughts. We want to be filled with faith and trust in you, but Lord, we want to do what you tell us to do. Father, we want to be wise. And Lord, like Solomon was wise. And there's an aspect of creating some storehouses and preparing for the future. Lord, help us not to live day by day to consume what we have. But Lord, to submit every financial choice in such a way that we can lay up for the future. And Lord, may we do it in the spirit of faith, not disregarding you, but loving you with all of our heart. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.